So I was scrolling through the internet the other day, like you do, and I ran across this funny little meme. It was a picture of St. Paul, and he was sitting down to write one of his letters. His forehead was buried in one hand, and he had his quill in the other. And the caption said something like, "I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to the church in America, where do I begin?" I feel like if Paul were to write a letter to the church in America, it would probably be too terrifying to include in the Bible. He would absolutely lose his mind on us. I think he'd use one of those lines from 1 Corinthians that we heard last week. "I thank God that I did not baptize a single one of you." I think he'd be pretty ashamed of the church as a whole, especially with how we seem to be unable to get along with one another, how we've divided the church into factions over and over again, and how we're happy to build more and bigger churches while there is so much need in the world. It would be quite a letter. This morning, we have our third straight reading from Paul's letters to the church in Corinth, and we'll hear more of it before we move into Lent. And with that in mind, along with this silly meme, and the fact that today we have our annual parish meeting, it made me imagine what St. Paul might write to us here at Transfiguration. What would he tell us? Where would he be pleased? Where might he scold us? If we were in Rome or Galatia or Philippi, the church leaders would have read his letters aloud to the people. So here are some of the more notable passages from my imagined letter of St. Paul to the big fig. "I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the faithful people at Episcopal Church of the Transfiguration, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place and time call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for the faithfulness that has been instilled in you, for your mission and ministries which glorify the Lord Christ and serve all of his beloved children. For you have chosen to seek and serve Christ in all persons, making your baptismal promise your guiding star. You have chosen to go out in search of those who our Lord Christ has called blessed, bringing them into your love and fellowship. You have opened your doors to the hungry and the homeless, to the faithful and the inquirers, to those who have felt persecuted or uncared for by other Christians. And you have given women the authority to preach and proclaim the gospel." Now, Paul, like all of us, sometimes will admit that he was wrong without admitting that he was wrong. "When I heard how you were able to increase your food service to the guest at Austin Street Center, even during lean times, I give thanks for your love and service. I have read your vestry minutes, and I know all the good work that has been done over the years." And Paul strikes me as someone who would enjoy reading vestry minutes. "I know that it has been a year of loss for you, and my heart mourns with you over the deaths of so many members of Christ's body. You lost beloved children and grandparents, longtime staff members and faithful volunteers. However, I know that you have not lost hope, for you know that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, it wouldn't be a letter from Paul to one of the churches without some stern words. I think he might include something like this. It grieves me to learn that some of you have been carrying more than your fair share of the load for too long. As you know, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, from the time of his baptism up until his death on the cross for our salvation, ministered for only 3 years. I have heard from your letters that some of you have been holding your ministry leadership roles for decades. Without doubt, the Lord has been glorified in your work. However, the body of Christ is made of many members. And if the right hand has been doing all of the heavy lifting, then perhaps it's time to pass responsibilities to the left hand. I have also heard that it has been difficult to get some of your ministries up and going after the pandemic. I learned that some of your members feel like their lives have moved on without the church. Some have reevaluated how they distribute their time among their varied activities and given less time to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Some are hesitant to step into ministry leadership positions. To those among you who could be doing more in and around the church, I ask, what are you waiting for? The risen Christ is waiting for you in the pews, in the classrooms, and in the food pantry. As far as scoldings go, I think we got off pretty light with just those. At this point in the letter, Paul would probably have a long diatribe about speaking in tongues, how he's a big fan of the practice and how he thinks that we should take it up here at the Fig. Paul just doesn't understand that we're Episcopalians and we don't really do that kind of thing. So I'm going to... Yes. Fake Paul. He would continue. And yet, for all that you have done and accomplished, for all the people that you have fed, for all the hymns that you have sung, for all the intercessions you have made on behalf of the world, for all the classes that you've attended, there is always more to be done. There is no end to the amount of good that you can do in the world. There is no end to how much you can grow in the knowledge and love of God. There is no way to ever sufficiently sing God's praises. Therefore, my dearly beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Paul would round out his letter in his usual way. He'd do some name dropping. Timothy says hi. Priscilla and Aquila send their love. The churches in Asia are doing great. I'm writing this in my own hand in case you were wondering. And then he'd conclude. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. My love be with all of you. Amen.